Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, something from the cellar, where we take you down to the cellar to peruse through some of our finest vintages from our archive episodes, hence something from the cellar, a chance to revisit some truly vintage conversations. And we're back now for another jaunt through some of the 80s icons who've been on the show over the last 4.5 years. We're kicking off with the man behind possibly the most infamous mullet of the 80s, Pat Sharp. Here, the star of Funhouse, Radio 1 and Capital Radio, remembers how moving around some of the biggest radio networks here in the UK forced him to raise his game and hone his craft, as well as some of the terrible sins that he and his contemporaries committed across their years on our airwaves. Did at Radio 1, when you walked through the doors as a novice 20-year-old who just sent in a good demo tape, did anybody extend you the same kindness that you extended me when I joined Greatest Hits? Did anybody stop by to wish you luck and say, just welcome aboard and here if you need anything?
That's an interesting one, because I've always welcomed everybody. I mean, and when Miles came to Capital as an unknown guy, you know, I welcomed him and had him over to our house, and he brought his girlfriend and we had a cup of tea and whatever, and he goes, you're the only one that's nice to me, you know, and that's why, I don't know, we remain friends to this day. And I don't remember people doing that to me, but I don't have a problem with that, because I just went in there thinking, well, I'm not going to be very good anyway. I've never been on the radio, and I hadn't. I'd been around the hospital radio station where I live, and I'd done some dedication rounds, picking up, you know, request slips and stuff, but I'd never been on the air. My first words on the radio were on Steve Wright's show after the lunchtime show and going into Peter Powell. I think there was about 16 million people listening at that time to Radio 1, because there weren't so many local stations. So I just went for it. But I don't think people were very kind to me, no. I think they thought, who's this gutter snipe, this young whippersnapper trying to steal our jobs? And they were probably Smashy and Nicey type era then, weren't they, where they were sort of thinking, we've been here forever, we don't want the establishment rocked by this fellow.
Did you have the hair by then?
No, I had hair, but not the hair.
Not the hair. Okay.
No.
Okay, moving on to the next, truth or lie. Okay, your first DJ gig was in a garden centre, true or false?
Absolutely false, absolutely. No, I aspire to getting a gig as good as that.
True. Okay, is this true then? You convinced David Hasselhoff to scale the Berlin Wall before it came down.
Obviously not true.
I was really hoping that there might be something like that.
Yeah,
in that.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
So, me too.
I mean, you've been tenacious at every twist and turn. You've also worked for some of the biggest networks in the UK. How's that been, bouncing from one network to the other, whilst always remaining inherently Pat Sharp?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't always remained in... I suppose I have in a way, but equally I've had to change. I can remember going... When I went from Capital to Heart, they started giving away these holidays, and my boss came in, he went, hi. I went, hi. He goes, yeah, you know, you just said, we are your destination station, and you can win the trip to so-and-so. I went, yeah. He goes, just say you can win a holiday. We're not really like that here. So I learned to talk to people rather than at them, and kind of changed from being the DJ that I was to being a presenter. And I think that's held me in good stead for what I do now. You know, I'm able on my shows, on Greatest Hits, to play the tunes, do the top 10 of 10, which I was the first person to ever host the top 10 of 10 back in the late 80s, early 90s on Capital. That's where they got the top 10 of 10 from. And I do that as, you know, as a presenter, but also quite DJ. But then after that, I start communicating more and telling people what I've done during the week and having a laugh with people and having someone on the phone and having a kid pick a classic song and so on and so forth. So I'm much better at communicating now and have been for many decades than I was when I was a DJ. But lots of people prefer me when I was a DJ and say, why don't you play 1,100 jingles in a row and have the echo on? And I go, because things have changed. And if I did do that, I wouldn't have the job I do have. So,
well, it's all changed so much, hasn't it? I remember when I first came into the media, I mean, it was de rigueur that most big DJs had their own helicopter. Just everyone had a helicopter. Did you have a helicopter?
I didn't, no, but Foxy did. Foxy did have a helicopter.
Noel Edmonds.
I think Noel had a helicopter. And Mike Smith, yeah. Of course, the late Mike Smith.
Yeah,
the late Mike Smith, he had a helicopter. So you're right, most DJs did. I was the only one that didn't.
Well, also, there was a thing in the 80s where DJs had their names on the side of their cars. Did you ever commit that crime?
That's like cock piss Partridge, isn't it, with the same thing?
Didn't you actually get name checked on Partridge?
I did, yeah. There's I don't think it was on the telly show. It's in the book. Yeah, it's in his book, Nomad. I think it's called Nomad. And there's a bit about the fact that Whitney Houston's greatest love of all, and he starts talking and he goes, as played, or I don't know. I can't remember, but he mentions my name, which is quite an accolade. And my son, my oldest son, Nicky, is very happy about that because he's a big fan. But I digress. So, yeah, the names on the side of the car, Kate, are from sponsorship. So if you worked for a small local radio station in Telford or something back in the day, and Ford Telford thought that they could get something out of it, they would say, John Harris is on weekdays, 10 till 2, and it would be like Ford Telford all over his car, and it would be everywhere, and people would see it, and they'd go, oh, look, that must be John Harris. And he'd be going, yes, it is, one at a time.
Did you ever have Pat Sharp written on the side of your car?
No. Someone once scratched something on the side of my car after a gig, but it wasn't there.
Your real name, true or false, is Pat Sharpin.
Yeah, it's Patrick Sharpin. And apparently I was told that on Friday it was a question in The Chase. Which person actually real name is Patrick Sharpin? And your Smash Hits magazine, they did it as well. They wrote Patrick Sharpin, did a whole thing on me with being Pat Sharp when we had the Pat and Mick records out. So, yeah, it's been out there, and that's fine. And I think because, you know, when I was DJing, Patrick Sharpin didn't sound very good, but I thought Pat Sharp sounded quite cool because all the DJs I knew had very short sort of one-syllable names. They were all like that, you know. There was Roger Scott, Graham Dean, John Sachs, you know, and so on. So Kate Thorne, you know.
Yeah, see, it doesn't really work, Thornton. It's a bit of a mouthful.
Well, you've got to get rid of your tin, because that's why I got rid of my pin.
Yeah, but then Thorne just sounds so spiky.
Also, of course, I've had the problem, Kate, as well, with the Pat Sharp, because people will still, and it happens all the time, either via email or whatever, can we get Pat Sharp for this date? Sharpe. So we'll write back and go, yeah, you know, please don't put an E on his name, because otherwise he'll be Pate. And they go, what?
And that still makes you laugh.
Look at you.
Yeah,
still makes me laugh. I'm Pate.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs?
United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Next up, bona fide 80s legends, skating supremos and 80s gold medalists, Torval and Dean. I asked them what moment they'd most love to return to and revisit. Turns out their record-breaking, era-defining performance of the Bolero at the 1984 Winter Olympics isn't a bad place to start.
I wanted to know about the moment that you consider so magical that you would have to relive time and time again, and then subsequently a tragic moment that you could delete it forever, be it from your mind, your history, or even the World Wide Web.
Obviously, my magic moment is the Olympics and Bolero.
Same.
Because we worked our life to that point, and we didn't know what was after that. Mm. So in retrospect, I would like to go back and look at that moment. I mean, I can see it on video, or I think it's 16mm film these days, but I could look back on video and I can see it in its 2D form. But if I had the chance of immersing myself into that space again, then, you know, I think they say to people that are getting married, take it in on that day, because generally that's going to be one of your highlights of your life. And for us, that was our day. Mm. and to be able to go back, and because we were so focused, so in the zone, and so you didn't have necessarily the opportunity to take in
the audience and
what was happening around
else.
You and everything. Yeah,
no, so peripheral vision, just intensely focused. You can watch that moment back time and time again, and you've reenacted it. I mean, I think you've skated that dance over 2,000 times now.
A lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah. But is it more about going back to that moment and feeling it again, actually tuning into your, to rather than being so focused on what you're skating, actually feeling that moment?
We did have the chance about, how many years ago was it? 5 years ago. It was the 30th anniversary of the Olympics.
Of us winning.
And we went back of winning, and we went back to Sarajevo. We went back to the venue, which had been bombed during the war, but they rebuilt it. And this was sort of a launch of reopening it. And the city of Sarajevo asked us to go back. And in actual fact, going back, I was seeing things for the first time that I didn't remember. Mm. But then actually getting into the building and meeting some of the people, one of the real fascinating things was that one of the people that were looking after us, she was 36, but she had been the flower girl on the day that went to pick up flowers just before we skated.
Yeah, you see,
and 36 years later,
what's going on when you see the footage going on to the ice. I don't know how many of them there were, but she was one of those girls, and she came to meet us personally when we went back. It was so sweet.
And Jane, for you, you straight away, when I asked about a magic moment, you just went, yep, same. There was no...
yeah, it's the same thing.
So it's not about the day that you became a mother, or for you, Chris, the day you became a father. It's about those 4 minutes, 28 seconds, which technically You could only have your blades on the ice for 4 minutes. So you even had to choreograph this incredibly beautiful moment at the top of the routine where you had to keep your blades off the ice, didn't you?
Correct. Yeah, that really led to that opening position, those iconic pictures that were taken of the time that people, you know, obviously refer back to. And whenever they do that, it's that moment. But out of necessity, that's where that came from.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And Jane, do you share that sentiment with Chris about those 4 minutes? Is that what you'd like to go back and re-experience again?
Yeah, I mean, you can't change anything. When you watch it, you can't change anything, and we wouldn't want to. But yeah, like Chris said, it would be nice to remember a bit more about the atmosphere and what was going on. And but it was the moment that, as Chris said, we didn't know what we were going to do in the future. And mostly competitors would turn professional straight after their last major competition and do an ice show for a couple of years. And that was that. But we never envisaged that we would still be doing it this long. So we're so grateful each time, you know, even through the aches and pains, we're so grateful that we can still do it in some way. So
do you see how we keep avoiding numbers so people can't do the math?
The Olympics was 84, they were 25, but leave it there.
Well, okay.
And what you've done for the sport is incredible. I mean, we didn't live anywhere near an ice rink as a kid. But I remember in 1984, I was still at school and I was out on my roller boots. And I know it was screened in the afternoon in the UK, wasn't it?
I can't, probably, I don't know, the Olympics.
I remember being called in because you were about to take to the ice. And all the kids on the estate had to go in.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
All the kids on the estate got to go in because Torval and Dean are about to win gold. Aww. It was like, it was a given. It's extraordinary.
And that's the pressure that we heard of everybody saying, well, it's not a question of will you win, but how much will you win by? Mm. And so we would always, you know, put our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 because we didn't want to hear that sentiment at all from our point of view. Well, we just didn't want to have
distraction
that, distraction or pressure of that it's not a given, that in actual fact, every day you still got to work for it.
Yeah.
Even though at the moment you're the best, but
you're one fall away from it.
Time you might not. Yeah, you're one fall, one slip.
Which
away
takes
from
us to your tragic moments. Are there moments that exist that, I mean, when I say tragic, I don't mean, you know, the worst of times. There is a wrap it in some comedy, maybe, to soften the tragedy. But is there a moment that you would gladly just erase from public gaze, certainly?
Well, I think one for me was, well, both of us, but when we were training 1983 for the Europeans, and we had a really bad fall, and I fractured my shoulder blade, so we had to miss the Europeans. And, you know, we're on a roll because we're already twice world champions. This is a season before the Olympics, and you've got to stay up there to keep having a chance to be the best and keep pushing yourself. And there's loads of people waiting to jump into your spot. And for us to miss a major championship, we'd never had to do that before. And it was just, we couldn't even bear to watch it on the television. We stayed in Germany where I was getting treatment. We couldn't bear to watch it, could we? And we just trained and trained.
Even Chris's face now, he looks like he's contorted by the memory. I wish you could see everybody listening.
But I think that's also gave us some character of coming back from that as well.
Yeah.
And the determination, because I think mentally you can will yourself to get better quicker. I mean, that's a bit Zen-ish. I know, I understand all of that. But I think there are some positive things that if you feel that you need to get better, to prove yourself, you can will that, whether it's determination. But if there's this like, oh, well, it's past, it's gone, we'll sit back and we'll wait a year, that's a different mindset. And for us, that was never the case. We were going to come back. So we actually had to come back, I think, stronger and better than we had if we'd have gone to those championships, potentially won them and then gone on to the World Championship.
Finally, it's time for Richard and Judy, one of the defining on-screen duos, not just of the 80s, but the 90s and the noughties. In fact, they first started presenting this morning back in the late 80s, having met at a local radio news station on a show called Granada Reports, where Richard's choice of suit was, well, certainly interesting. Well, I say that, definitely caught Judy's eye.
I was a presenter for Granada. Our local news programme is called Granada Reports. In those days, individual regions, we were in the Northwest region. We were based in Manchester, but we covered the whole of the Northwest. And it was a very different style of programming, wasn't it? The programme was much, it wasn't just a rolling news bulletin like it tends to be now. It had all sorts of little stuff in the studio, a bit like this morning.
I was going to say, it was like this morning, yeah.
So things were very different. And anyway, when Richard arrived, yes, I'd been there a couple of years, and then he walked in, and first impressions. I do remember walking into the newsroom. He was wearing, it was May, wasn't it? It was May, and he was wearing a really pale blue suit, you know, sort of like ice blue.
Sharp.
And I thought, oh, God, he thinks a lot of himself, doesn't he? you look great, but wearing that, nobody else said this, and all the other blokes were just wearing, I don't know, jeans and God knows what else. Yeah. There were you in your pale blue summer suit.
My first day at the office.
I know.
Give me a break.
I know.
So you thought I was a wanker?
No, I didn't. I didn't think that. I just have a very vivid image of you walking into the newsroom wearing that blue suit. I mean, you know, they had that thing, that old sort of Gigi thing. You were all in blue. I was wearing white. Well, I do have this really strong image of you in this blue suit. That was my first impression of you. I looked after you, didn't I?
My first memory of Judy, I hadn't actually, I'd heard the name Judy Finnegan a few times. I was over at Yorkshire Television on the other side of the Pennines.
Yeah.
And I was working with a reporter there, and a presenter there called Marilyn Webb, who was the sort of Judy Finnegan of Yorkshire Television, you know. A lovely girl, Marilyn, no longer with us, sadly. And she and I worked with Richard Whiteley doing the calendar programme there. That was what it's called, Calendar News. So anyway, I get the job, I get poached, basically, and I get the job at Granada, and I'd heard of Judy Finnegan. I didn't know much about her at all.
Reports action.
But I'd heard of her, but I wasn't really, you know, that conscious of her. And I remember walking into the newsroom. I can't remember the suit that I was in, but I do remember. I must have seen you on Reports Action. You're right. I must have seen you on that. It was a Sunday show, wasn't it? You did with Bob. Mm. That's right. Yeah, I had glimpsed her on a kind of a factual program that she did called Granada Reports Action that went network. Yes, you're right. I did. I had seen her, and I fancied her. You know, I thought she was really pretty, but you know, I was married, she was married at the time, so you know, it was just a kind of a technical. Oh, but she's very attractive. And I remember coming into the newsroom and seeing Judy in the flesh for the first time, and thinking, oh yeah, she's you know, she's hot, she's great.
What was I wearing?
Ah, you were wearing a woolen top, a buttonless cardigan, which was ripped.
A buttonless cardigan.
What would you call it? It was like a jumper, but it was ripped. It had different coloured stripes going across it.
I never wore anything.
Yes,
like
you
that.
Did. I can tell you. I can see it now. That's what you were wearing. That's what you were wearing, and you were wearing some kind of. I think it was a green skirt. Oh, you look lovely. I mean, it wasn't what you were going to wear on the show, but you know, it was your newsroom, and I was in my sharp blue suit. And I thought she might have made an effort, to be honest with you. But I didn't. But Judy says I walked into the office. What I actually walked into was the morning news conference, because that's where we all used to meet at 9 o'clock. So I walked in, I was introduced by the editor. This is Richard, he's new, blah, blah, look after him. Then we had the news conference, talked about what was going to go in that night's programme. Then I was shown my desk and I sat down. And the next thing, as I was getting my sort of, you know, biros lined up in parallel and my reporter's notebook and my typewriter, I felt two hands simultaneously land on my shoulders behind me. These two hands go smack on my shoulders and I jumped. And I turned around and it was Judy. With both her hands on both my shoulders, and she said, "I'm your mummy," and I didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. I said, "What?" And she laughed and said, "Joke." She said, "We have a thing called the parenting scheme here, Richard." She said, "When somebody new comes to the office, somebody is assigned to be either their daddy or their mummy. It's a joke. But basically, I'm going to show you where the toilets are, where the canteen is, where the editing suites are. I'm going to give you the grand tour because I'm your mummy. Ha ha." So that kind of passed into legend. So she showed me around. building, and we got on straight away, didn't we?
Yeah,
I mean, straight away. Yeah. Within whatever her first thoughts were, you know, who's this wanker in the blue suit?
I don't think the blue suit made me appear.
Probably not. By the end of that morning, I could tell we were going to be friends. And obviously, it developed into something a lot more than that. But that was a long way down the road. But we were kindred spirits. And as we were talking, and then I remember we were talking about that night's show, and Judy was explaining how the show was put together. And I kind of got it, and she got it that I got it. And I don't know, we just clicked straight away.
Thanks so much for listening to another Something from the Cellar. Let us know which stories you'd like us to relive and revisit by messaging us on Instagram at WhiteWineQT. And to listen to these episodes in full, just search the guest name in your search bar. This week, we've listened to Patch Up, Torval and Dean, and Richard and Judy. I'll be back with a brand new episode on Friday. Until then, have a great week.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.